Welcome everybody to Rewind and Fast Forward episode 3. It is the end of 2018. We are a couple of days away from the end of the year. I'm your host Ray Wong, and my co-host Bruce Leon coming to us from the west side. And it's the end of the year, you know, it's a time
Bruce
for reflection.
Leon. What's
and,
up?
And you know, we're looking back at what we did this year, last 365 days, and you know, looking at our successes, maybe our failures, our big wins, our big losses, our small wins, our small losses, whatever they may be, we're going to be discussing them on today's episode. And Bruce, you mentioned there's a twist, or you have an idea, and you haven't even primed me on this, so it's like a total surprise. Should I just wait for it to come, or like, okay?
It's not necessarily a twist. I think that I'll kick it off. So I think that when we talk about wins, right, those are great, and those are these things we're marking up on the scoreboard. But what about the losses? What about how did those come about? And I thought it would be
horrible.
It came to me as we were texting each other, and I was saying, "Bro, bruh, son," all these different ways to just annoy you, but. One thing that I think is really important for these wins or losses is contextually, how did they come about, right? How did you even start them? How did you attempt them? Where did they come from?
Okay.
So I thought it would be kind of in our best interest and in your best interest, viewers, listeners, to know like why we did it, why we attempted this. And if they
I think
were
so, I mean, it seems like every year we all reflect at the end of the year and we're just like, man, what a dumpster fire. You know, everyone's on Twitter, everyone's on Instagram, and they're just posting their things that happened. And I'm just like, you know, actually, there are a lot of good things that actually happened. We just tend to kind of like gravitate towards the really bad stuff. And I want to kind of pull those out.
Yeah.
Sorry, my voice is cracking here because I'm a little sick today. I think you're drinking over there. I'm drinking hot water.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
drinking. I really want to break out that whiskey that
White
you guys got
Walker,
me from Japan.
Someone
I'm
gave
just
it
like
to me.
My voice.
It's like made for
just
TV
destroying
whiskey.
Myself, but itself. So I'm drinking hot water right now, like a good Asian. Because that's supposed to cure everything. But like, let's just hurry up and get right into like kind of our wins, our losses.
Cool.
And I don't know. Maybe you want to jumpstart it, kick it off. Okay. Let's go all the way back to like January.
Yeah, I'll kick it off since I kind of had that little twist. So I
today is what? Let's today's January. I mean, today's December 27th for those listening.
January 2018.
But let's go all the way back to January 2018. And how did that start for you?
Yeah. Cool. Okay, yeah, got it. So I'd say that...
Of 2017.
To start with January, you know, also we'll have to take me back to November, December. So, and the only reason why... Of 2017. The only reason why I say that is because...
In 2017?
I was getting out of ad sales, marketing sales, and I was thinking about what I wanted to do. Met up with... 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, in 2017. And I met up with Deepak... in Chicago, who's my old roommate for the last, we were roommates for 5 or 6 years, and he started getting in my ear about, well, you want to travel or you want a flexible
so it's all
lifestyle,
his fault, basically.
And you want an in-demand career, coding, right? That's where it really started at the end of 2017.
He just destroyed your year, okay.
It's all his fault. It's all his fault. Me leaving New York, everything. And 2018 is really when I kind of kicked off the journey in terms of learning about coding, figuring out if this is going to be a career. I mean, it started with, is there an interest that I had? I took a few courses, and then by January, I was in this boot camp, which is pretty wild, just to say the least. Just imagine this is 13, 14
I gotta
weeks,
say it was pretty intense. Like, 15, we didn't hear from you for like months,
and
we're just like, man, is this guy okay? Like,
is he gonna
make it? Like, I came to your little graduation, saw your little project, your class projects, and it was pretty cool. And I gotta preface this by letting you guys know a little bit about Bruce. He's like, you know, for the last, like, I don't know, like, 8, 9 years, he's just not your geek, he's not your tech guy, he's not your computer whiz, and suddenly he's just like, and suddenly he's just coming out of the woodworks, and he's just like, yo, guys, I'm a software developer now.
I defer to you for everything, right?
I mean, it's kind of amazing. I mean, I gotta say, I'm impressed.
I made this game, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, thank you. And I'd say that, you know, starting January 2018, it was really about, let's put some interest that I have in coding into this potential career, which was, can I be a software engineer?
Right.
And yeah, you're right. I didn't see you for months because this was like a 5 to 6 day a week course. So while I was doing this, you know, you're learning, you're coding, you're trying to like contribute to open source, everything.
Wow.
And what ended up happening, fast forward, is I became okay. I almost
flunked out,
actually.
What is the percentage of students that flunk out of that?
Because I did
like
really bad on a few tests. They have tests to see if you can move on. And
okay.
It's small. I would say flunking out probably 10 mm-hmm. or 15%. And then there's also many that finish them and don't really get jobs. But it's a small amount. So yeah, I was really at the bottom end. I ended up finishing. I ended up doing a little teaching stint, which was like, you know, I was half in, half out, not working, but working, but ended up getting a job in coding. And that's what kind of brought me to California. But yeah, I guess kind of looking back at that, thinking about like, why did that work? Why did that not work? One was I was interested in it. Two, I had friends that were doing it. Three, I had the time like really sit and do the work in it, meaning like
I think that's really important that you had the time to dedicate to all the amount of time,
but it was a luxury to do it,
kind of career shift, because it's like most people who are changing careers, they're dedicating like part-time after work, they're trying to like, you know, go to continuing education, you know, grad school, whatnot, and it's usually not full-time, and you had the luxury of having all day, every day, nonstop for like, you know, continuously, how many weeks again was it? 14 weeks, and just like, you know, putting your serious like blood, sweat, and tears into this thing, and
14,
I think that's why you had you were able to ultimately, I guess, succeed, because you know a lot of people, like you said, might quit, and that might be because of different circumstances, you know. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's also a course at the same school where you could do it part-time, and that would take 6 months. And I felt that if I did it full-time, I immersed myself in it, you would learn quicker. Obviously, like, yes, I at the time, I was pretty, I wouldn't say broke, but I didn't have much money. I would have to cook my lunches every day. And, you know, to some degree, it's just like you're pinching pennies, but it was just like, if you want to,
so you,
get
I mean, you really
done,
took this like risk, and I'm just
kind of
like, you know, we were talking about risk earlier before this podcast,
time,
and how so many people are just not risk averse, or they are risk averse, and meaning they want to steer clear of anything that's too high risk, and you know, sometimes you have to do something like this in order to really achieve what you want. It sounds super cheesy and cliched, but I'm thinking back on like a lot of things that I did and how I got to where I am, and you know, things that I've accomplished career-wise and non-career-wise, and you really put in the time and work, and if you kind of don't do that and you half-ass it, you may not get the same results as quick or at all even.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I guess I want to hear one of your successes after this, but I also want to bring up, after we do a success, kind of a
success
failure.
I don't think I really had it
in that 2018
successes in
realm. So maybe January. You kick it off with this.
My January
success
is pretty different from all. I mean, do we want to like go in chronological order and just as inch our way towards
January,
the end of year? Because I think the first half of my year was like kind of like crummy. I mean, I faced a lot of like personal issues. So like, I'm not afraid to say this, but like, you know, my mom, I had to deal with my mom.
Sure.
She had cancer, and so, you know, I was really trying to help take care of her and my family, and so Yeah, work took a little bit of a backseat. My year starts off every year the same, basically right after New Year's, usually the week after. I go to Las Vegas for CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show, the largest tech show in the world and of the year. And it's always this like grind. I've been going there, I think maybe like this coming year, 2019, might be my eighth or ninth year. I think I skipped one year. And it's I know people think Las Vegas is like this awesome place, and maybe it is for people who go there to eat and drink and all that and have fun. For me, I'm there to work, and it's just like it's usually like 5 or 6 days of
Buffets.
nonstop work, all day, all night. It's not as glamorous as people think it is. I'm literally dying and like sleeping, like I need a nap, like on the show floor, just because like I'm so exhausted. I wake up super early, so I would say that's like a win and a loss for me, you know.
Let me ask you, since we're kind of looking back and CES was in January, we're coming up on it again. Was there anything that was supposed to be awesome in
Like tech
January
wise
that
that I
became
saw
either a
maybe at the
failure or a
show,
success or something that was just
I would
so
say probably the coolest
not
thing I
what was
saw was
expected?
that Sony
If you
Aibo robot
tech wise,
dog. And that was like, man, it was like the revival and return of the Sony Aibo robot dog. Super smart now, and it's better connected to internet. And you know, it's a replacement basically for a people who can't have a pet or people allergic to pets. And I thought that was really cool. Problem is, when it launched, finally launched like mid-year or summer this year, and it's just like it was like $3,000, and it didn't support everything because it's like mainly made for Japan. And it was kind of a disappointment. That's it's Sony.
They're
It's Sony.
really into
Well,
the robots, right?
SoftBank
Isn't
makes a lot
SoftBank?
of
Is
robots.
that SoftBank the one that did that robot?
Yeah, I mean, it was
They
like
had
the
their own.
most hype thing, I think,
But I
at
remember seeing
CES.
a robot
Really
in
kind of
Japan, and I think
silently
it
stole the
was.
show, in my opinion. And it just didn't really, like, you know, make a huge splash this year. But yeah, I mean, the first couple of months for me of the year is just like kind of like nonstop work, you know? And right after CES, I'll get a small break, and then I'll go into like, you know, phone mode, which is like preparing for Mobile World Congress, which is like the largest mobile show. So that's in Barcelona. I head over to Barcelona. Then there's usually an Apple event. And I don't know. For me, I think this year was just like the first half of this year was pretty painful for me, I think. Just because it was a work, work and personal. I just couldn't really balance it well this year, especially the personal stuff. It
Just
really got,
work and
I wouldn't
personal
say it
kind
got
of
in the way, but
balance.
like I would say, it definitely made working a lot more difficult. So I was, I wouldn't say, so I was like kind of like pretty, not excited. I wasn't excited for work, most of the first half of the year. But yeah, so those are kind of my early wins, losses. But how about you for like March, April, maybe spring or whatever?
I'd say March and April, definitely some losses. I like to run a lot, so I spent probably my running career, which is short, 4 or 5 months, getting into this Race Boston Marathon. So I qualified in New York the year before. I ended up running it the first time in April, and that was after the coding class. And I wasn't trained. I didn't do any training. I get there, and the weather is like a nor'easter. It was like Arctic. It was horrible. It was horrible. It was like one of the worst years there. And I'd say that was definitely a disappointment for the weather one, for how I did too. But it was also just nice to like get away from the city. As you know, it can be nice to get outside. But that was kind of painful. And all the while that was happening was
Did
like
we have any
when I
kind of
finished
like
a
crazy
course, was I going to
snowstorms
get a
this year? I
job?
can't
Was I not?
remember.
So a lot of in limbo at that moment in April. Not, I don't think there was. There was probably just like a day or two that was just pretty like serious down, like downpour, but nothing like the years
I would
before,
say my year
where it
kind of
was just
picked
like
up.
you might not
Well, let's
actually go to
say
work, you know?
in I guess in March I went to Austin for South by Southwest with my company Mashable. It's my second year. Austin is this weird place which is like super chill. and I like going to the event, but it's just like I personally feel out of place because it's just like there's not a whole lot of work for me to do. It's like during that event, it's like a, you know, music and film festival, and you kind of it's a lot of partying, and I'm just like, I guess I'm just such a workaholic that I'm just like I'm not so used to the chillness, you know.
I wonder. I always wondered about the whole tech part about South By, because I remember when I was at WebMD and at Pandora, like, or I was at WebMD, we were like going there, or
right, Pandora, Spotify,
that
music,
going there that were in the tech field.
They really show up.
Like, I don't know why. Yeah. At Pandora, it made sense, but
right,
it was kind
of yeah,
weird.
It's more of
like
a music and
like
entertainment
day,
festival.
Right?
So I mean, you can go and buy a ticket and, you know, go there and party and hang out with like-minded people. It's just not my kind of scene, because it's just a lot of hanging out and a lot of eating. I mean, I didn't.
So you had no like no fun stories, no nothing. You just
I think
were
it was
listening
this year I met Gary Vaynerchuk in an elevator. I mean, I didn't say much. We were walking into the elevator. He was walking out. It's Gary V. Everybody loves Gary V. because he's such a great motivational speaker, and he's always telling people just stop making excuses and, you know, just go out there and get it and hustle and all this stuff. If you ever listened to his podcast or read his books, Vayner Media.
Yeah.
I mean, they do a lot. Yeah, who knows, man.
I don't even know what his companies do,
but
they just do.
Yeah,
a lot.
I'd say my year really picked up probably like May or June. That's when things really kind of heated up, and I kind of tried to get back into my groove. The summer was like, you know. Mm-hmm. It's summer, you know. I wish I had like summer vacation still as a.
I think one thing to preface that no one understands except if you live in major cities like New York with weather, like seasons,
right.
Is summers are like on a so heightened
looking
level.
Forward to summer
in
is like
California,
a huge deal.
The weather only changes a few degrees. So summer is not
it does.
A big deal. In New York, summer is like it feels like an extended spring break, right? For – you know, when you were in college, it's just like every day, every weekend, you're like, can I be outside?
I don't know, man. I'm usually
sure
not very active.
You evaluate your summers based on how active you were, right? I mean, I get those texts
from me?
At the end of August being like,
that's
over.
That's,
we didn't do much.
Dude, that's because we're working people.
Yeah.
We're adults, you know? I'm like, I'm 30. How old are you?
Got,
like 33?
We got 2 weeks left of summer.
And, you know, we don't get breaks.
Yeah. But nowhere in the world, I think, is summer as heightened
I mean,
as it is
you,
in New York.
There's
like, there's
this,
so much
like,
more to
almost
do
almost like
in
external
summer
force
than
that is like
throughout the year,
pressuring you to go out
you know
and
I mean?
Accomplish more in the daylight and not waste the whole day just, you know, lying around watching Netflix, you know?
Yeah.
Summer, I mean, you know, it
so
was
what,
hot. You know
so
me.
What,
it was
talk,
a bad
summer
as well.
Let's
like my
summer.
Bad year just kind of extended into summer. I was,
it was
really
hot.
Like
it was
leaning
hot.
On you for a lot of like assistance, and you got me to do shit that I didn't think I would ever want to do, and that is
sure.
Running. And you know, I've been telling you for years that I will never run. I think running is kind of. I didn't break my ankle. I think I sprained it. I had an extended sprain.
You said you would break your ankle.
It's not that I hate running. I used to run a lot as a kid, like, you know, in classes and stuff like that. I just...
Yeah, contrary to what most viewers and people believe
then
you
I discovered computers
you were
and became
a
nerd.
You were, right? You ran, you did,
or, you know,
you
did
a lot of athletic
I activities. A desk, I would say girls, man.
Or you discovered a desk and it just, you know, somehow you just sat down.
I mean, yeah, I just like, I don't know, I need something. So here's the thing. I was just like doing such drone-like work that I needed some kind of escape. I need something that would just take my mind off whatever. I mean, I don't really. I'm still working at this company. I don't want to really harp on them.
Drone-like,
but like, I will say, like, you know, everyone knows what. Everyone knows what drone-like work is. It's work that you go in and you do. And you're not happy with it. It doesn't fulfill you. And basically, what you're doing is you're walking into the office and then you're counting down the hours. Yeah. I think all of us have been there, right? And it sucks. It's like, okay, 9 o'clock, 6 more hours until you can get out, right? And it's just like, what kind of
totally.
That's not a way to live, you know? And so I needed an escape, I needed an outlet, and I was just like, I'll try anything. At that point, I almost like lost my mind, and I was like, I'll do anything. And all right, let's not bring that up, man.
Paint for a little bit.
We went running first. We started off like it was like every weekend. And
all right, so what'd you do?
Was there like a bet or something? There's always like a bet. There's always like some kind of, there's always like a bet. Somebody loses something.
Jog. There's always a bet. I think we started this by saying like you committed to like a month of it.
I think I said something like, if I want to do something, a month.
I'm going to do it for an extended period of time. It wasn't just one day. And you said, let's go. Oh, and it had to be cheap. It couldn't be really expensive.
I mean, rock climbing is okay, but that costs money. Running is free, man. I mean, I would say running is free for me. Running costs you a lot of money, and all the sneakers, pants, shorts, whatever I mean, you were always telling me like, yo, I'm going to be at that Nike outlet store again. I'm like, again?
It's a good excuse. Good excuse to buy more shoes.
Like, how many sneakers do you freaking need? You're just buying so many sneakers. I was
actually don't run in Nikes, so I just was buying shoes. That was more just that.
Well, here I ran because I needed something to do every week.
Yeah, there's no point.
Basically,
no
to
point
not sleep.
Anyways,
right?
You were running.
My biggest loss there was like I was just sleeping all day, and that was a problem for me. And also because I was sleeping all day, I would not be eating, and I'd be like, you know, that ruined my kind of like diet and kind of my it ruined everything basically. You know, everything is you know, connected. And right, so I need something to like get me out of bed and just start my day.
Yeah.
And you know, you were into running, and you'd run over from Astoria to Flushing and meet up with me at where is it? City Field. And you know, we'd run around for a little bit. Yep. And you know, for me, running isn't about like awards or like trying to be faster or you know, run faster and better, I guess. It was really just like to do something, just to like get out there and just do anything. And we'd run, we'd talk, you know, just shoot the we'd have brunch after, we'd shoot the shit. And it was
I have brunch.
Whoa,
brunch,
dude. Little sex is there. Little sex is there.
Guys have brunch? I don't know. Whatever.
Brunch is a romantic thing? What?
I don't know. I thought it's like a romantic
thing. That's the first time I've ever heard anyone say brunch is only a romantic thing. Wow.
You're just like I've heard that. Maybe it was like on a show where it's like bros do brunch, and it's like, can bros do brunch? I don't know. It can be a friend or
we
something,
food.
But like, I don't know. You're right. That is a sexist thing.
But here, but it was good.
Food.
It was good.
We didn't have what we think.
I mean,
the stereotypical.
You're vegan.
Like,
you had vegan,
City
so
brunch.
There are only so many options.
Not like mimosas. And
very manly things, you know?
We had dumplings and stuff. And dumplings and tea and like Chinese food.
No, it was fun. It was really fun, I think. And, you know,
rice.
It was good to get my. It got my blood going, and you know, kind of reminded me that I could run,
good.
And it'd be
good.
Fine. I
really
wouldn't be like
it.
Competing against anybody. But then you kind of made it a little bit competitive, as you always do. And he always tries to turn it up a level. And
probably, yeah, I'm trying to take it up.
And then he kind of ruined it a little bit towards the end of summer. I was just like, man, why'd you do that? He was like, oh, we're gonna. What was that? You were like,
oh,
let's run back and forth and do these things like. And at City Field, and then we added push-ups and stuff. Then it was just like, it just became intense. There are a couple of times where it's like, okay, I had a bad run.
I hear you.
I mean, maybe.
You.
there are a couple of times where it's just like it was.
Maybe that was just
it's
good
weird.
Cop,
it was like
cop,
I had a bad run with
maybe
you.
I'm like, now you.
I just wasn't feeling the adrenaline. I didn't feel like, you know, my blood was going. I didn't feel like, you know, energized. So like you, after an hour, you just like tap out and go home and run back, or you take the train and then I'll be like, I guess I'll go back out and run a couple more laps. Got to get the blood flowing, and it did help. I gotta say, it really helped me get over this rut.
You need to get that blood flowing. Yeah.
And I really did appreciate that. So,
yeah, I mean, I just remember when it was rain, like when there was rain forecast, it was very much like this. I'm gonna
but
leave
now
the
you
house kinda, and just
now, but now you live in like perfect
pour.
Weather every day.
Luckily, it never really
you can,
did.
You don't have to worry about that, right?
That.
I mean, I see your Instagram stories.
We're gonna do it.
Running
we're gonna
into
do
the
it.
Fields and all this. Nature and stuff, all these trails.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I got a vest now. And like, I don't know if people wear vests a lot. I think it's a really California
like,
thing,
like
but it's just like, it's
kind of
cold, but it's not. It's sunny, so you wear this. It's like a California uniform thing that I guess I'm on now.
What's that, investor bro or whatever
be down,
that meme
it could
is? You know, where the guys are,
the idea of
the finance guy or
is
whatever. He looks exactly the same yeah. as everybody else. Is that what you look like? I mean, you're wearing like a little gingham shirt right now, and you just need the vest.
I might, yeah. Otherwise, I'm wearing fitness clothes, so I just look like a girl.
So yeah, that was
yoga,
my
so
man. My wins are always it seems like my wins this
woman,
year were like
soul
kind
cycle,
of balanced by
whatever.
my losses were balanced by wins. Yeah, so like, you know, the loss was like, you know, being stuck in this rut and being miserable, and then the win was kind of like getting into this running thing, and then really using that as a way to fix or, you know, I guess balance out this crappiness of the rest of the day.
Well, you know, I definitely want to bring up this idea of being in the rut and like a jump start, because it's going to happen in everyone's year. It happened in my year. It happened in your year. And to be honest, to this day, I don't know there's a formula on how do you get out of a rut. I'm just curious, like, what was your moment where you were like, I'm in a rut and I'm going to try to get out of it? Because I knew... I mean,
you don't
in
really.
It for
it's not a switch, you know. It's not something
really
you just
like
suddenly
oh,
wake up and realize.
My way out, but you know,
That's hard. I think it's hard to pinpoint. I don't know. I don't think there was.
Or when did
one
you realize
moment.
You were in a rut?
I think I just got tired of like whining to you all the time.
Is there a
we'd
moment?
Meet up and I'd just be like whining all the fucking time about how shitty my day was every day, and it was just like.
Okay.
I felt like I'm not trying
and
to be like, you know,
like,
offensive or anything.
So
I just felt
doing?
Like
instead of
I was
being
a,
like good,
a little
good,
bitch,
it's just like,
a big
blah, blah,
little
blah, blah,
bitch
blah, blah,
or a big
yeah.
bitch, you know. And I was just like, ah, I can't do this anymore. Like, I need something's got to change, you know.
Okay. Okay.
I felt definitely outside myself, and you know, for me, I'm
sure
like a thinker, so like I try to get a lot of perspective
yourself,
from
right?
a lot of people, like from you, our friends, some of our other friends, coworkers, friends and family, and you know, I usually take all those perspectives and then make a decision, right? I'm like, no, I take everybody's insights and then I'm like, okay, what do I want? You know,
it's rotten
and
tomatoes, it right?
Everyone was just telling me like, you know, that I was. Not being very appreciative of the things that I had and, you know, the experiences that I already accomplished this year. And, you know, yeah, you know, I think having to deal with a lot of my personal family issues really helped me kind of, I guess, like, I'm losing my train of thought here. I become more a lot more grateful, I should say. You know, I felt a lot more grateful that, you know, I have a good health and you know, I'm capable, I'm still alive, I'm able to do things, and I just want to feel a little, I just need a little push to kind of like have a new lease on life, you know. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, man, you were always telling me like to channel my you know, energy into like hobbies and stuff, and I'm just like, well, my hobbies are like work, you know, like if I try to make everything work, you know, and it's just like I need something that was like so out of my zone that I could either love it or I could hate it, and I wouldn't care. It was just something I didn't really care about. It was just something to do. And that was what running was, and then it kind of just slowly became this thing that I really kind of enjoyed. But, yeah, I guess I should pick it up again, but it's kind of really cold out right now. But it's not an excuse.
I think that kind of makes me think about, you know, this you being grateful and then recalibrating the brain and then building on what you have. And I think that's really hard to think about when you're in this vacuum of, or you're just in this rut, right? Where you don't know what's going on and you forget that you're like, my life is over, my job sucks. When in reality, there's a lot going good, right? And then you have to rethink and build. And I'd say one thing that I definitely felt during the year from friends, but also myself, was I finished this coding boot camp and you just wanted to finish it, right? And then you're just like, wow, okay, now I have to get a job. And the scary part about all that is, well, you just went through like hell to do this course, and now you actually have to get on with the real game, right? To actually get a job. And I felt like this year, and I felt like that after college, where you're just like, wow, I'm ready to get into adult life, knowing that adult life is like, you know, it's like a college basketball player saying like, I'm ready for the pros. When in reality, it's like shit moves way faster. You have to be like on your game. And I definitely say there was a huge learning curve for me. There was a learning curve for like my classmates once they got through with the boot camp, because they were just like, oh, yeah, you know, we got this great skill and we can get a job. So we'll get a job. Google.
Wow.
I just talked to my sister and she had.
As in, like, they couldn't fit everybody in one day.
It's so
they had two parties?
That they had 2 days. You had to pick a day.
Wow.
And it was in, like...
That's insane!
Yeah.
That's insane! Yeah. Wow.
So I don't know if this is a trade secret or whatever it is, but it was literally, like, they had 2 parties. And I've been hearing about it, and it was just, like, it wasn't even epic. It was so big. So in that vein, you're just like, wow, well, Facebook is online. They need developers, so there's a surplus of fucking developers, and therefore I'm going to get a job. When in reality, it's like whenever you're done with something that was hard, chances are there's something bigger that's even harder that you have to tackle. And for me, that was getting a job, which was
really
challenging.
How long did it take for you to get a job?
But
because, like,
yeah, I mean, I would say like that
kind
of
your first real software development job is right now.
Okay.
So from the time of like finishing your boot camp, then you were teaching for a little bit.
Was right
and
now.
Then
yeah.
Then after finishing that, then you went to go find a job. How long did that take? And, you know, I can't remember if you actually just decided to take a little break or whatever afterwards, or you just, you know, were looking but didn't find anything in New York. And maybe you just didn't say.
Right. Yeah. I would say from when so I finished the boot camp in April, the end of April, I was doing the teaching, and it's like you're an aide, right? A school aide kind of thing for a next curriculum, which was another 2 or 3 months. So this puts me at like July and August, and that's when I'm looking for a job. And I'd say that from then until about September, 2 months, is when I got that job. And to be honest, if you know everyone that is working that, you know, went through an interview process, whatever that is, you know that takes anywhere from 3 weeks to 4 weeks from the beginning. So I'd say it was really fast for me. If I'm talking 2 months, meaning that one company took me 4 weeks. But it's very draining and it's really hard because it's so easy nowadays to send out resumes. You can just hit send, 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 and you're at 100. And by Tuesday, you're just burnt out. That was something I was prepared for, and I was just like, well, I went and spent a ton of money to get this education.
Right.
I could have just sat at my computer and just
You're an adult, basically.
Instead
you're
spending this money.
I mean, you're responsible.
So I was
adult,
just like, I need
like
to get a job quickly, and I was just like, check. Right. But I would say that there's definitely a few camps of people that do this coding boot camp where you're just like, I'm drained from the school. I'm going to take my time, right? I'm going to look at the companies I want and take my time. And sometimes that really works for really the select few that are like pretty talented at this. And then there's the other camp where you're just like, I'm going to grind away and I'm just going to take a job, right? I think I was in that camp because I didn't feel like there was like a special talent or something that, you know, I had sleepless nights thinking about code. I was just like, I could do it. I liked it. But I'd say like that was kind of a success in that I got a job.
I'd say
of
all our
friends,
in our friends,
it was a really rough, draining time.
I feel like you never have a hard time finding a job. I mean, every single time you've looked for a job, you've found one pretty quickly. And I don't know if that's because you're just amazing in your like phone interviews and your interviews or your resume is just so sharp or whatever. But like, what is the secret?
What's the secret? Is that what you're asking me? All right. I tell you that when I got to these interviews for software engineering, my mind was blown in not a good way. So I feel like I have good control over what I can say and what you want to hear, right? If you want me to act a certain way, I can do
that. He's a master manipulator.
And software. Exactly. In a software, master manipulator.
Right,
I mean, I was in sales for many years, so, you know, I'm not saying sales is manipulation, but you have to cater. But in software engineering, exactly. In software engineering, just imagine you're just being thrown tests and tests and tests. So it's something that I was not prepared for, I didn't like, and I didn't plan or practice until I had to, which was probably because it was one of those things where it's like, your mom's like, clean your fucking room. But who wants to do that? No one wants to do that until they have to. So I'd say I had to like peel off the Band-Aid and just adapt to the interview circumstance or the interview, I guess, strategy and criteria. Because at the end of the day, it's like there is a formula to get a job. And if you're willing to do it, you'll get a job.
Okay.
But if you're not and you want to take a shortcut, then that's an easy way to prolong it. I mean, there's so many articles on how to get a job in so many different fields. It's like if you follow those to a T, probably you're going to get a job. But most people are just like, well, I did this, I did that, so I get an off day, I get an on day, I'm okay. Or my resume is okay and blah, blah, you know.
Right.
If you always just
So moving on to like the rest of the year, we've got about, you know, maybe like 20 minutes left of this podcast. The end of summer, early fall, winter. Yeah, that's where I think I had my biggest wins, work-wise, personal-wise, everything really. And I think now that I'm thinking of it, you know, it kind of really seems like it matches up or aligns with when my mom kind of got better. I guess maybe that took a lot of the stress off me, off my mind. You know, she did radiation. She took her surgeries. They were successful. You know, it's an ongoing thing, but, you know, the worst was kind of behind her, hopefully. Yeah, and so I think that actually maybe...
those big hurdles.
Right, so that allowed me to maybe like focus again on my work and stuff, and care a little bit more. I mean, it started off just rough. I was going to Berlin for this trade show, IFA, and it just didn't have my passport ready, and just totally got screwed over because my passport was expiring in a couple days, and I missed my flight, and I thankfully was able to make it the next day after getting an emergency passport. It's just like hectic, and then I came back, and it was like the iPhone event. And it's just like boom, 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 Techtober, just like one review after another. Tim Cook like fucking retweeted my iPhone review and just like... Techtober, I mean, it's not a real thing, but like this year more than any other
Techtober?
Year, I'd say, we dubbed
like
it Techtober because there's just
real?
So many products being announced. And yeah, biggest win was like probably like, you know, Tim Cook, head of Apple, head of, you know, a $1 trillion company, retweeting my review. It was just like mind blown. That was like a big win for me, big win for our company, and just really helped put me on the map. And so I was really happy about that. And that kind of set the momentum going for like...
Right. Let me ask you about that.
I have no idea.
Do you think? Let's just think about where Tim Cook was when he did this. I don't know if you checked. Like, I don't know if you checked the time on this.
But I mean,
like,
think about it. Think
he's
about it.
Such a so busy like, guy.
It happened like around
no
like the reviews went up that day,
like,
and
at the end
you know,
of the day, he was just like,
it was my first time reviewing an iPhone.
Retweet.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't retweet. He only retweeted mine, and he only retweeted with.
Did he retweet every
review?
Wow. I don't
and
think
he only
so.
And he retweeted it with like the eye emoji. You know the eye, it's the two eyes thing, right? That just like look to the left or look to right, whatever it is. And it's just like look over here basically. And he didn't retweet Mashables. No, it's not the eye roll emoji. No, it's the two eyes, the two oval shaped eyes, and it's just like looking.
It's not an
and
eye
it's
roll.
Just like,
that's not an
usually,
eye roll.
You know, if it's a, like, if a CEO retweets something, they retweet a publisher's. Publisher's tweet, so like, you know, my company's Mashables, but like the fact that he went and found my tweet, which
check
I tweeted
out
like 12 hours prior, means like, you know, I mean, he had to go find it. I had tweeted multiple things throughout the day, you know. I gained like over,
I can't imagine how many people he follows. How many scrolls do you think he did to do that? Or
from what
like,
I've heard,
I think he has a guy.
Do you
think he has a guy
actually,
or girl being like?
And from what I heard, they had Apple's minions or whatever had nothing to do with it. And he just he has his own control of his own Twitter account. And you know, I mean, it was a positive review. I think the iPhones were great. So I said it, and the review itself looked really fantastic.
I like that.
Put in a lot of hard work there. So I think it really paid off, and that kind of set the momentum going for the rest of the year.
So you definitely got a good, I guess,
payout, I mean,
but knowing that you put a lot of work into this, that there's people watching, people listening.
I mean, that's a personal win
like,
for me to have like somebody
awesome.
At the highest level just, you know, really see your stuff and appreciate the work that you're doing. So that was a big win for me. I mean,
right.
No,
who was the
not,
first person you told?
It wasn't no, I just went
don't
right on Slack and told my
Instagram.
Team. I was like, holy
right.
crap.
You've
and I'm like, what do
someone.
I do? What do I say? I was just like a team power of like how to reply and what to say. It was like my phone was like exploding. It was just vibrating nonstop because I had just gotten home or I left work early that day.
You're like a child.
So tired. I just like flopped into bed and I was just like, oh, I just need sleep. You know, I was really busting my ass off. And then my phone just goes off. So it's like 7:30 that night, Eastern time. So that's like what, 4:30 p.m. like his time. And Tim Cook is like an interesting guy. He gets up really early. So like he apparently gets up like before 4 a.m. So like what is that? Before 4 a.m. on Pacific time would be like 7 a.m. I guess that's right, right? Okay. Then. So right when the market's open and all that stuff, right?
7.
And so he gets up pretty early and he works out, and then, you know, he jump starts his day, he gets an early start, and, you know, he doesn't sleep late. So that seems like it might be towards the end of his day, maybe. Maybe it was like going home. Right. I don't know. I mean, maybe he was at the gym. I don't know. That's interesting.
Okay. Cool.
Interesting thing to wonder though. And I did meet him. I met him again. I met him in person for real this time at the iPad Pro event, which was in Brooklyn. And, you know, then I was just like, I was just speechless. And I was just like, I had nothing. I didn't know what to say. So I told him about how he blew up my phone that night. And he just laughed and said, that's great. I'm like, that's great. He's like, he was just so happy that he busted my iPhone. Not.
Do you think
I don't
he was
know.
Just
I don't
like
know.
A, it
I
was
mean,
like
I,
a that's
I,
great.
I,
like my weekend. Was
I don't
good,
know him.
Blah blah blah. Or was it?
Yeah.
Like,
everyone
great.
Thinks we're like best friends now or something. I'm like we're totally.
I mean,
not.
You don't know him, right?
But you know,
maybe you will later.
Call me Tim
maybe
Cook if you're listening to this podcast. Reach out to me. So yeah, I mean, work wise, it was a good year. Family wise, yeah, worked out, and you know. And yeah, I think I mentioned in the first podcast, I guess I met somebody, and that's cool too. So, working out really well. A lot of kind of a. What?
I'm curious how that's jumping beta off mode? For 2019, if you can share. I don't know if, you know, we're in beta mode and top secret, but what's, I mean, 2019, what's 2019 look like?
I don't want to say too much because she might actually listen to this. I did tell her that I would share this podcast with her once it's live. We haven't, as of today, we haven't uploaded any episodes. It's my fault. I'm going to try to upload it before the end of the year. I'm really going to make an effort. So hopefully all three episodes will be out by December 31st at the latest. And yeah, I don't want to say too much, but you know, hopefully good things. I already can tell there are going to be a lot of challenges and changes in 2019. But you know, they're kind of exciting, I think. So I'm kind of finishing this year and looking forward to starting 2019. Really strong, and that, I haven't felt that way in a long time. So it seems like, you know, the end of the year was like a good way to kind of like rally for everything on all fronts, and I'll take that win. How about you at the end of this year? Let's take it back to nice. You know, you moved, that was, you got a job, yeah, and then
I'd
you
say,
moved
the end of this year I moved. I'd say the last 2 or 3 months have been really a blur. So like September till now have been a blur of just kind of like getting.
I don't know if there are descriptions down below. It's not a YouTube video, Riz. But if there are captions and stuff, we'll post their Instagram accounts and all that stuff.
But yeah, exactly. So I have two cats that I love dearly, and a fiance, Maria.
She's like, I'm not listening to it again.
I don't know. She might be listening in the other room while we're recording this. Anyways, this is definitely... She could just jump out. I don't know. But I'd say that the last 2 or 3 months have been pretty crazy and trying to get... just catch my bearings on what's going on. The thing that will... is definitely kind of a win as well as like an ongoing in progress is just adapting to California. You talked about the weather is great, but you know, there's definitely a lot of things that California and New York, how they're very different, and I think that is something
but
that
you're from
I'm
California,
learning
Bruce.
The hard way as well as the cats as well as Maria, unfortunately we all are learning. I'm from California.
So
I've lived
like half
my
your life,
entire
basically.
Adult life since 18 outside of California. So I, you know,
what?
Up until exactly. And that was like I don't want to say the good half, but that was like the half that I really had control over. The other half was kind of
right.
You know, there was a formula and there was like a borders and just a set thing. You're going to school, you're a kid. So after that, you know, I moved away and now I'm back, and I'd say that it is very weird.
It's definitely not.
Astoria,
it's a neighborhood.
It's a small little town in, or small little city. I don't know.
Is Astoria a town? No, Astoria is not a
city.
Town.
It's a neighborhood. I can't even. Oh my God. I don't, man.
Right.
It's, oh God. It's like, it's such special to us, and we lived there for 10 years. So having that neighborhood and then acclimating to these other neighborhoods here, which are really not their cities. So it's really tough. I'd say that, you know, you get set, you're older and trying to figure that out. So that is definitely an ongoing process. The win was obviously moving here and being able to do so. But the ongoing thing that will be really challenging but exciting is figuring out like how California fits in our life and how we can do what we want to do and how we can kind of be different at the same time. So that will be exciting as well as terrifying, I'd say. And Ray, you know, we talked about kind of ways that I don't know if it's like your term and saying like throwing shit on a wall, or I don't know who would ever throw shit on a wall, but throwing things at something like throwing things at a problem.
Right.
We've talked about ways that maybe this can be not remedied, but kickstarted, just like the running that, you know, you did. So yeah, I'd say that's kind of how the end of my year went, where things, you know, are great. They're incredible. Like, I have a job. My cats are alive.
You're making it. You're making it work, right?
And hey, but next year will be very interesting. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and enjoying it too. Enjoying it too. But I'm also very
you're very resistant
about
to it at
continuing
first,
this podcast. I don't know. It feels like something I never wanted to do, and I thought would be stupid, but it's. It's a nice outlet, but also somewhere where you're just like, you know, it's an ability to share.
So 2019, as well, you're excited.
You know, talk about things.
What are some like things to look forward to that you are personally excited for?
I'm excited. Cheers. I'd say more like a big encompassing thing is this like reinvention, right? I was in a barely an adult when I moved to New York, and now I am older and moving to California. So trying to figure out kind of the next phase of whether it's a family or whether it is this new career, there's like so many new things for me, job, living, being closer to my family, which is really nice and I'm really enjoying. So trying to see how those things play out, right? Right now it feels like I don't know. Maybe it's like this is a terrible analogy. It's like a smoothie where you're just throwing all these things in there and
I'm excited.
It tastes well.
I'm just happy to be more positive.
How about you? What are you excited about?
Which ones?
I know you got a lot of plans too. You got some plans. You got some
the ones that we can talk about. The ones that we can talk about. Okay, the ones that we can't talk about right now.
Maybe for that other.
Yeah.
I think the ones we can't talk about I know that you've been planning about for.
I mean,
some time,
I'm just
but,
a very work focused
what are
person,
things that
so I am. There are a lot of changes coming work wise, especially for my career, and I think that there are a lot of openings to kind of, I guess, like level up because I'm always trying to do like better, and it's just like at certain points, like, can you keep doing better work? And I thought I hit a plateau this year, but then after the summer I kind of like, you know, went above and beyond that, you know. It's just like it just felt a creative rejuvenation, and I'm just like, yeah, this momentum is still going, and I'm really excited that I'll be able to continue in 2019. It almost feels like everything's all new again, which is weird because, you know, I've been writing professionally about tech, for almost 10 years, next year will be 9 years. So 8 years this year. And, 10 plus. You know, it can get stale after a while, and you kind of want to rethink what you're going to be doing with your life. And, It feels fresh again. I feel like I'm re-energized, and you know, I can go toe-to-toe with like any of the best people out there and even like kick their asses. I'm sorry for all those people, but like, you know, get out of my way. You know, and it's a good feeling. I'm coming for you guys. I'm coming for all of you guys on every front. No, I think just because like I'm going to have a little more control over what I can do. And also, you know, I'm interested in doing my own stuff and using those creative outlets. So like, for example, this podcast, you know, this has been actually really, I've been wanting to do a podcast for a long time, was inspired by a friend. And yeah, now we're finally doing it. I just need to upload it. I just need to upload it. So that's not just on our computers. It's coming. And there's so many things that I'm like really interested in.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely want to like start
it's
doing
coming.
More
it's
like
really
you know,
coming. It's coming.
Running and stuff again once the weather gets warmer and all that stuff, because I kind of miss it. I'm just like, man, I've been holed up all weekend. I got to get out and get that air. And hopefully in 2019, I know this is like super cliche. It's like, get out of your comfort zone. You know, I think I finally like kind of like woke up a little bit this year, and I'm looking forward to kind of like doing things that really like bug me and bother me and make me feel uncomfortable. And that are risky, but you know, might have big payouts, for myself. So really, pumped for all those things. And, I kind of just want to really end this on like, single biggest loss, because I know we talked a lot about like wins and stuff in the last maybe like 30 minutes or so, but like the worst loss of the year, I mean, and I guess kind of like, you know, if you're over it or whatever, our biggest loss, or
I'd say worst loss, wow, that's a tough one. I'd say the worst loss that I kind of touched on that is ongoing is, you know, I knew moving to California was going to be challenging. I didn't realize how challenging it would be. Knowing that, I mean, I had enough money to essentially get what I wanted by the move, right? There was nothing I had to shortcut. So I was just like, well, if I have everything I need, then I should be fine. So I'd say that was definitely in my mind, I wouldn't say, I guess I'd say a loss, where it is still like, it's very much in flux in terms of kind of our day to day. And that kind of brings me kind of to another point where, you know, you touched on this about being appreciative and, you know, appreciating what you have. It's kind of like things aren't necessarily great and perfect with the move, but the ability to move and the ability to do these things, it's kind of like just like you're chipping away and building more and more, which it's kind of like this loss but win, but you're kind of like you said,
for me, I would re-energized. Oh man, this is gonna sound corny. For me, I would say it's just like,
how about you?
Biggest loss is like, I don't know, losing some friends. You guys, that really hit home to me, I think, because I always kind of was able to just like lean on you guys for a lot of things. Yeah. And it's a thing that you have to kind of just grow up with, you know, it's just like, you're an adult now. I mean, I've been an adult, but like, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, you have your own responsibilities and, you just got to deal with them. So, and it's New York. Yeah. So I think I kind of like got used to, which is good because, you know, you have this support system. It's good to, if you have a certain group of close friends that you can always like talk with. And now it's kind of like, I don't have that. Yeah. We talk about stuff, you know, on Slack. That's why we made a Slack channel. And, you know, we talk about stuff on text or, you know, on this podcast even, but it's like, I think I told you like, or maybe I told somebody else, but like, you know, right after you moved, like maybe a week or two after you moved, I was just like, man, I was feeling like shit. And I was just like, man, I really want to just like grab a drink. And I was just like, man, I can't do that. And you realize how like significant those moments are when you were able to do that, you know, and maybe I didn't totally appreciate them, in all the previous years, but you know, you appreciate them a lot more. Totally.
I mean, all right. If that's my loss, but you know, that's a personal loss. Otherwise, I think we did pretty good.
I'm ending the year really great, and I'm really happy that it's not crummy. It's not crappy because nobody likes that feeling. And I hope next year is really, really good. I hope it starts off really strong. So for me, for you, for all of our friends and family, and I mean, that's all the time we have for this podcast. I don't know if anybody got anything out of it, but you know, for me, it was like, it was, I think you say that every episode, right? If you're like still listening.
If you're still listening, thank you.
I wonder if there's a way to get analytics on, like, is there any platform, and maybe you guys can tell us, is there any platform that
of course they are
used to get analytics on like how far somebody gets through a podcast? There's gotta be, right? If not, Bruce, go out and build that for us. Because I mean, there's got to be a way to like find out the drop off. So I hope that everyone is reflecting right now, and you know, hopeful that there is a new year coming upon us. And you know, don't be so negative. You know, there's always plan a little bit. It does. I think you're right. And yeah, I just want to wish everybody a happy holidays, happy new year, and we will see you guys in the new year for the next episode. All right. Peace. I don't know why I just did a V sign. You guys can't see that.
Cheers, guys.
All right, I'm going to stop this recording.